people don't listen.
You got it.
All right, we're going to start now then, okay? All right, so I'd like to call the meeting of the Developmental Disabilities Advisory Board for Wednesday, March 2nd, 2016, open. Remember that they're miking this, so anything you say will be heard, not for record. Welcome to everybody. It's nice to see so many people here. The order of business always starts with community input, and I think we have several people who'd like to input. I think David has asked to go first.
Yes. Okay. All you all know that I got my new place now. All look great. And to the new place, and I really, really, really like it. And I love my roommates. We've got Ryan and Ray, and I like them so much. It's a 3-bedroom, a shower, and a walk-in closet. And most of all, I have a provider who is coming in the morning to help me out to make breakfast. But now I am making my own breakfast.
Oh, wow.
Now, and dinners also.
Oh, wow.
And so at this point here, that is not quite that lonesome.
Does that say, is he alone?
Yes, he does. Okay. Yeah, well, because over the weekends, I'm going to be over at Dad's house. Then on weekdays, I will be over at my new town home. And I really, really, really like it. So.
Thank you so much, David. We're very proud of you.
Thank you. Thanks.
I think it's noteworthy that this arrangement came through the housing coordinator of the ARC.
And Darla helped.
So they deserve credit for that. And I'm hopeful that they can continue finding opportunities like this for people.
You were instrumental on that board as well, so. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Del. Anybody else from the community who would like to say something? Please. Sorry, I don't know your name.
I'm Angie from Developmental Disabilities.
All right.
I was just asked to announce our big move coming up here pretty soon. Our office is going to be moving a couple blocks down the road to 907 Harney Street, and we're going to be Suite 200. And all of our phone numbers are also changing. So I don't have everybody memorized. But the main line is going to be 418-6108. The move is starting on Friday, and then we'll officially be over there on Monday, whatever day that is.
Seventh.
But we won't have our computers and everything, possibly. They're all getting moved over. I guess they're starting to move those on Friday.
So you'll be on holiday for a couple of days. Why is this move?
Because we've outgrown our office. We've added so many people that we're stacking on top of each other. So.
Isn't it also because the state owns that building? Or do they not own it any longer? Okay, they used to own the building, and then what you're in now is the leased building, so there might have been some cost savings.
Well, we would have loved to have stayed because we actually have offices, and now we're going to Cube City, so.
Yeah,
little adjustment period.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah. All right, then we have our order of business, the special orders. We have Emily here to talk about the October event. Please come forward. Emily Harris.
Thank you. I'm Emily Harris. I work for WISE. I think I met a lot of people in the room. It's so nice to be here with you this evening. And I am just here to give a little push for the exciting October employment event that we are starting to plan early this year. And I got some news off the press from my lovely executive director that we have a tentative date, and I want to confirm with you, Mary, that it's October 19th this year. October 19th this year, and location, we're still working on it.
No, the location is October 19th.
Okay, so we've got to look.
In the ballroom.
The whole thing. So things have happened since this morning. All right. I love it. And so I just wanted to say, for those of you who didn't get a chance to attend last year, it was a really successful event. 2 years ago, Mark McCauley had said he would like to double the jobs within the county for people in supported employment, and that has happened since then. We had Kurt Warner, who was a former Seattle Seahawks player, as a keynote, and he did fantastic, and we had a really packed house. So if anyone is interested in being part of the planning committee, I'm going to use some cards here. And we're going to start talking about that. And then I also just wanted to mention some of the work that we've been doing around the family training series, too, that it's been a really fantastic year of training for families. I'm going a little bit off script, sorry. But for families and teachers, and it's been, we're on our fifth session. We're doing one for guardianship and trust next week. We have two more to go, one on employment, but they have been just packed full each time, so about 50 to 70 people. It's really exciting.
Yeah, did you have 70 people for Social Security?
At 70 for Social Security, which, who knew, it's the hot topic, but it is. It's all the rage this year. So the next one is on the 15th of March, and then the last one is about employment, and it's on the 19th of April.
And they're at Cascade Middle School.
Cascade Middle School.
Yeah, so that was your first one last year, the October event, right?
That was the first one.
And that was, yeah, you got big shoes to fill on your own.
Big shoes, definitely.
It was really a good
a good team. It was really great. And we had a really fantastic video, I feel like. Working with Mike Perry, the local videographer, was just awesome. So we have a lot to talk. Is there anything else?
Why don't you let me know if you're interested in, I know you are. And, okay.
Yummy.
Okay.
The usual
suspects. I think I'll be the next one. Mary, and I bet Walt will want to do it.
And do you want to, maybe for a new board member, talk about what that looks like, for what your involvement is as the board? Okay. On the committee for the planning.
Are you ready to say what, or do you want Mary to explain?
We can do it together. So it's a collaborative effort, and the new board member
is Ronnie.
What was your name?
Ronnie.
Nice to meet you. So we start planning pretty early. We follow a project plan as a group, and we just start checking things off our list. So one of the things we do is we outreach to the employment vendors here. And employers for nominations for a set number of awards that are part of the ceremony. And Mary?
Well, right. The board decides on the award categories, the awards, or, you know, who, when the nominations come back, they review the nominations. Actually, everything goes through the advisory board in this event. So the speaker,
the music,
who's going to do the music, how that's going to be done.
Ted gets
to speak.
Yeah. That script.
We have to help you with that.
Do you know the purpose of the event?
No.
Okay, the purpose of the event, thank you, Susan, is to recognize National Disability Employment Awareness Month, which is October of every year. It's we usually get materials from Department of Labor. They do kind of a press release and some posters. Sometimes we use their posters because they're cool, and sometimes we avoid their posters but try and use their theme if it's at all cool. If it's not cool, sometimes we put the theme really small at the theme. But no, this last year we ordered hundreds of posters because we were trying to get a certain one, and it turns out they didn't value that one the way we did. So we had a little bit of poster overflow.
We also have the participation of cities.
The city, the Chamber of Commerce, which we're going to need to go back, and they've got a new chamber director, so we're going to go back to the chamber and see if they still want to co-sponsor.
What else?
New Seasons does all the flowers. They are very happy to do that, and they're an employer, so that's kind of nice.
It's a great opportunity to go to several city council meetings.
We go to the city council meetings. We break that up by geography usually. And
I was thinking that, you know, since BDR is a big part of helping our client find a job, we did the initial part of it. Can BDR be part of it, and can we do something as well? That's what I was hoping.
Funny you should bring that up. I don't have those notes with me, Seth, but we talked about things that BDR could do.
Sure.
And that might be one of them, that, and then some other things. And so we maybe need to get with you, Helen, and figure out where do we start in DVR. Do we start with the local office, or do we have to start at the top and go down? Because that's another option. But yeah, let's talk about that.
We also rely on lots of people in the community to nominate all that work as well. Ours is the easy work. That's all the hard work. We just decide.
They delegate. Yes, they do. But it still is up to the advisory board. And I think, like this last year, we had new music, which turned out really. Unfortunately, the room was a little small for the number. We have a bigger room this coming year. And the young man that you acquired, right?
Yeah. Chase.
He was great.
He was a jazz musician who has a great TED talk. Autism is, music is a window to the autistic brain, which is phenomenal if you have 10 minutes to watch it.
Yeah, it was really a great event. We hope to have another one. And it's going to actually be added to, so that's going to be better. But
yeah.
That's what the next agenda item is. And then you were great too. Thanks so much for all you did for that.
Thank
you. Well, I'm really excited. It sounds like we have some more committee members.
Oh, yeah.
Very
good.
Thank you. The cards
and good.
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. And now we have the action item on the agenda. Employers overload.
I'm Kenny. Good evening. So my name is John Vanderkin. I'm president of Employers Overload. I appreciate you allowing us to take a few minutes. So the subject today is 24 years ago, we started our program with one person, and that was David Hamill. And we are happy and sad to say that David is retiring April 1st. And so as we approached this day, as a group, we began to talk about how do we honor David. Certainly, we are going to spend some time honoring David within our organization. He has, I don't have enough time tonight to talk about what he means to us. But we thought, how can we honor David in the supported employment community? And a thought came to mind that we wanted to present to you and see if you agree, and that was to put together an award that would be named after David, so David Hannibal Award, that is centered on service. And so for David, one of the key things for him has always been what's the level of service we provide for clients. We can look at our business and make sure that we're profitable. We can make sure we're filling out these forms, or we're doing that process, or we're, you know, looking at new ways to do this or that. But at the end of the day, if we're not providing great service, it doesn't matter. And that's just his mantra. It's just, that's what David's about. And so as we thought about an award, you know, the thing that came to our mind is a service award that is really geared towards those individual providers. So job coach, employment specialists, job developers, the people on the front lines who have done something above and beyond to provide service to, you know, the clients that they serve. And so with that, we wanted to, so a couple of points about that, and then we want to show you a short video. Is, first off, he doesn't know about this, so if you want to keep a secret, the easiest way to do that is to not tell someone. So it gets harder as we progress towards March 30th, which, by the way, is the night that we have planned for his retirement. So if you haven't seen an invitation, you are invited March 30th at the Heathman, 5 o'clock. So he doesn't know about this. Our hope is, if this is agreed, ratified, then we would actually, you know, present this, tell him about this during that event, and hopefully be a nice surprise for him.
So this award would be added to the ones given in the October event.
That would be that would be our, you know, our ask.
Kind of like the Dennis County Award was added.
And then, you know, one of the things that Employers Overload is committed to is, if there's an issue around cost or those types of things, we would be more than happy to cover the cost of that on an annual basis. So
it's not the
But whatever we can do to help. Why is
that? Subject to an administrative handling fee.
Well, we have to approve it first, but if we accept the offer, well.
So, with that, Ken, can you? So we apologize if you wanted to move
around. But you can move around. Only a move can move around.
Could
we have that screen?
Go ahead
and hit it.
Thank you.
David Hanawalt was born to Frank and Jean Hanawalt. Frank Hanawalt was instrumental in desegregating Seattle schools in the 1960s, co-authoring the legendary Seattle Plan. Frank had Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. at Garfield High as a guest speaker in 1961, marched with the Seattle African American community for desegregation in housing and employment. Both parents were deeply involved in the social justice movement. Frank is also known as the principal of Garfield High School when Jimi Hendrix was expelled. Following high school, David attended Antioch College in Ohio, where he majored in psychology. David moved back to the Northwest and received his graduate degree in special education at the University of Washington. Working in the field for years in the Seattle area, David came to Clark County in 1992 to start the Employers Overload Supported Employment Division.
About David isn't so much about his interaction with clients or the culture he created, but just more or less the work he's done for the county and the state, and just for supportive employment in general. I kind of look at him like a figurehead, much like Martin Luther King was for civil rights, but David's enough for sort of supported employment.
So I walked into David's office and said, "Hey, the people that we work with, you know, suggested I come down and help you." And David looked at me and I looked at him, and we we came from substantially different worlds, and we proceeded to get to know each other. It was a little awkward the first few times we sat down, but I quickly realized David has a passion for the people that we serve. David helped me learn the value of service over business, over efficiency, over improvement. Those things need to happen, but never at the cost of diminishing the service that we provide to clients. And if it doesn't increase the service to clients, then the question is, why are we doing it?
4 years ago, my son Ben was in his last year of transition services with the school district, and he had been successfully supported by the school district staff in carving a job at Clark College campus. So about the first of the year of that last year, I called all the employment providers in Clark County and said, I need some help. We have a job carved out, potential paid employment, but he's running out of time with the school district. He won't turn 21 until the summertime. So I called each employment provider and asked if they'd be willing to talk with me about supporting Ben, learning what he was doing on his job, shadowing him prior to his 21st birthday. The only one who called me back and said they were willing was David. I want to be sure and talk about David's advocacy around changing in the systems to allow that kind of support that he provided for Ben before he turned 21 to become common, to become the trend, become the way that services are provided. And I think through his advocacy within his organization, his provider organization at the county level, that things are changing. I think David's advocacy was key in that change in the system.
I've worked with David since 1997. David has given me so many opportunities that I really appreciate, and probably didn't have the self-confidence myself at the time to realize how much an opportunity it's given me.
Well, I've worked with David for actually a fairly short period of time, but what has impressed me most with working with him is, first of all, the very high standard that he holds our operation to, the level of service that he expects us to provide for our clients, and also one cannot be around him for very long without being very impressed by his compassion for other people. And I believe that this shows through in his interactions both with his co-workers and with his expectations for our clientele.
The one thing that he talks a lot about is relationship, not only relationship with the folks that we work with, but the community, relationship with the entities that help us to provide the services that we work with, but in relationship with each other. And when you put all those things together, it comes up with better service, and that's what David is about. And though he may be in the background much of the time, he's always there to support his staff to put their best foot forward.
His coworkers and the people that work alongside of him, he gives us the freedom and lets us kind of create our own type of training and use our personality and how we do things with the clients that we serve, and it's proven to be effective. It's proven to be the best in Vancouver.
David understands like how to make change without forcing it or without expecting people to want to do the same things as he does. He collaborates with a lot of different people, and because of his history as far as like with Seattle and civil rights and things like that, I think that is what makes David like really special, is that he's gone through those times of a really important change, and he's like a really big icon for, I think, anybody who's like young and who wants to make a change.
David is an amazing boss. I've never worked with a boss that is so understanding and caring. I'm definitely going to miss David's long talks. Having been here when I need help, because he's always been amazing on explaining every step and every process that I need to go through if I don't understand it.
One thing I do respect with David is, it's if there's an issue or there's something we need to solve, it doesn't become our clients that it's their issue. It becomes, falls onto us. We're the ones that need to figure out what we need to solve or complete to make the placement successful. I think David has created a program, and we're in our 25th year, that is very successful. We have clients' interests and their pathway goals as top priority, and we allow staff to be able to excel and work with our clients in the capacity that we do, and never say goodbye. And so David will be around. So we're Rosemary is in. So I think David's on his next adventure.
Having steered the support and employment division through numerous location and staff changes, David has gone from being really a one-man show to becoming a shrewd team builder and detailed communicator with the community he has served for nearly a quarter of a century.
Suitcase and guitar in hand, and every stop is neatly planned for a glory that one man can.
All right. We will will kind of keep in touch with you as their planning goes on, so we can get you in or and release things at the same time and design forms that you want to see.
That would be great.
Well, should we do with you, John?
Sure.
Okay.
This is quite a tricky, then. Maybe you guys had a good boss, but this sounds like this good boss has got a good team. It's, you honor your boss. Okay, next we have Cecily. You back there still?
Yeah.
Just be cool, sir, from Wise.
So I'll try to make this quick. So here I have about four things I wanted to share with you guys. To piggyback on Emily, what she was sharing about the family training series, we're actually planning for next year on that already. And we do receive a grant from the state of Washington ARC that helps co-fund that training series for us. And we also have the Vancouver School District and Evergreen School District as partners and collaborators this year. And next year we're looking to try and expand that to PSD back in, as well as Battleground and Camas. So we're gonna do some outreach. And so anybody that wants to help us with our stealth plan about adding collaborators, see Mary. but it's a strong piece of the family training series is that piece is just really kind of co-design and locations, interpreters, and recruitment of families. And we are up to averaging about 50 families a night because of the expansion. I think Evergreen hosted this year, and I think that really, really helped us a lot with being on site with them. So we're looking to try and take that to the next level. So I know some suspects that might be able to help us, so think about that.
Want to add something, though?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I just think reaching out to schools to at least use their facilities and maybe move them around the area would kind of move all people into them. But if we go too far east or too far north, people don't come. Maybe they will now, because there's a lot more. There's a reputation. Maybe we can talk about it.
So, you know, it's a great, great training series. March 29th is the statewide transition conference in Everett, and that's being sponsored by Washington State DEA and in support with VR this year. And I think they're planning for upwards of 300 people to come to that event, including the commissioner of RSA, which is under the Department of Ed and the federal government. She's flying out from DC to talk about the implementation of the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act and what that means at stateside level for us. So we've got quite a great lunch speaker, which will be really fun. The summit, June 14th through 16th, is happening again in Wenatchee at the Convention Center. You should see in the next 7 to 10 days registration to launch on that, so be looking for that blitz to go out. It'll be pretty easy to find it on our website at gowise.org. If you need to look for a link, that would be the easiest way to find it.
There's, I already have a stipend request.
You've already got a stipend request?
Yeah, for family.
Good. And we can take up to 1,000 in that venue, so we've been averaging about 900 the last 4 years.
Do you get deals with the hotels?
Yes. So on the website, there'll be several local hotels that we've already gotten into contract with that give the government rates that we can extend to people who are in the conference.
But if anyone from the board wants to go, I cover that. So,
Still school?
Yeah, I know. The dates that change make it really hard for those of you.
Yeah.
It's actually my last day, but still.
There's an employment meeting on the opening day of the summit this year on June 14th that will start at 8:30 in the morning and go to 1:45 in the afternoon. That's being hosted by the State of Washington DDA Central Office. The intention is that counties will bring community teams to the event to missed that email yesterday, I think, that went out. But that will also be included in that website. There'll be information on that. And that will be free. There isn't any charge for that, additional charge to go. We had an employment meeting like this about, well, exactly in 2013, the first launch of the summit. And this is kind of a check back in meeting that the state wants to host. ER doesn't even know about this yet, so feel free to spread the word. They're hot off the press tonight. And we are bringing in David Mank from the Indiana Institute on Community and Disability, David Hoff from the Institute on Community Inclusion at Boston, UMass, and John Butterworth from the Institute on Community Inclusion also. So looking at where's the state right now, how are we doing? A little bit of, these guys are policy and data extraordinaires, so they're going to kind of take a look at progress, themes, trends, and they will announce some strategies since everyone's going to be there together statewide. So looking at where Washington State's going in the next 5 years. So it'll be an important day, and certainly we want to think about strategically who comes from Clark County and to have a good presence there. Teachers this year, we used to, in the schools project, have a family training series and a teacher training series. And the teachers have went dormant for a couple of years on the training series, not intentionally. We had been doing persons in the plan and building that capacity in the schools, and we kind of hit a full volume on it. And now the cup has runneth a little low, and so we're going to start it up again. And the idea is we're going to start it this summer. And we're going to run a couple of sessions in July and August. We're going to have space for up to 20 teachers. I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice. I better sound like a teenage boy right now. we're going to do that here locally, and we just started crafting this morning, in all honesty. So we had a meeting with Vancouver and Evergreen this morning, and we're going to be connecting with ESD about that. But the idea will be to start the training series in July and August for some professional development days and carry it through November so that the cohort will be complete by November.
Susan is a mentor teacher.
I know she is. So she's on this page over here this morning. So we'll be hearing about this. So we're going to look, we trained five mentor teachers before. We called them the A-team by code. And they actually carried on the training for us, so we are going to reach out to that group to see if any of those guys want to teach in the cohort again, Susan, and see what people are doing this summer, and also maybe use a couple of other consultants. You
have
anything
to add to that? Yeah, no, but.
Did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, families, conferences, and training.
Right.
I think that was my list for tonight. So,
right.
And Emily, I will have a little team behind her for the October event, because I don't know if you all know, but since she's gone, she's going to be having a baby this summer. So she'll be helping us plan and keep us going as long as the baby isn't here. And then if the baby decides to come, there'll be several of us helping on the event.
People decide this way.
Yeah. So I look forward to working with you guys. I was like, okay, great. And we did have a great meeting this morning with a guest that said about the event he's pumped and fired at. So that was really encouraging too. So look forward to that and being a part of that again. Any questions? Maybe exceed the possibilities.
It might be.
It might. I'm nervous right now because I can't remember. And my phone's dead, so I can't go look it up. But it's not going to write that. Yeah, I'll look it up.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Darla's another casualty of SCIC. Pass some of these out. So I'm going to do my best to try and explain. I must say that session can't be done too soon. It was looking weird, and then it got weirder. So I am passing out, and I have, for those of you, I'll just put them up here. Oops, sorry. Yeah, if you want to give that.
Thanks.
Please. So there's sleight of hand going on. Everybody wants to be out of town because it's an election year. A lot of things have died. If there's a fiscal note, they have either died or gone into this thing that says necessary to implement the budget. So then it gets maybe put into the budget that's unsure. So you can see by the smiley faces and the frowny faces where things are at and what the Arc of Washington and some of the advocates think is a good thing. One of the bills that we were keeping track of was a bill to create a new service called Center-Based Services, take all the federal money out of it because it is really congregated, segregated service, sponsored by a couple of sheltered workshops in the state. And then their dream is that parents would pay privately or something would happen because there's no way they're going to get state money for this. And there's no way the federal government doesn't see it as
legal.
Yeah, pretty much. You can't spend federal money that way. Anyway, so that we think is dead, but not necessarily. It could be that they just create this service, put no money to it, and then it's assumed that families could come there, and I don't know what they do, because actually in a sheltered workshop, you know, you get fewer hours of work than people who are in regular jobs. And we had the same experience when our last sheltered workshop closed. Some people decide they don't want to go anymore, and they refuse to go. And so some of the people that the legislature are following, because they demanded a report on everybody, have just said they won't go anymore. So I don't know. This bill is something that could pop up. The other one that is on the radar that is going to be really kind of funny. Some of you have been around a while, remember SSP, which was cash payment to families. So in the Department of Labor, the Department of Labor has implemented some new rules, and the IRS has made some rules, and basically you can't work over 40 hours a week without getting overtime. So when a parent is a provider, that is also supposed to be the case. So one of the legislative staff people created an idea in the Senate that they would give cash to families, and then the families could be their own provider, and then they could get around the overtime rule. Now, I'm not sure that the IRS and the Department of Labor are where you want to stick your, I'm going to get around the rules, especially the IRS. But this staff person convinced the Senate to move that forward. They got some agreement from the House. The union has been putting out, if any of you who are parent providers have been getting a letter from the union that is actually not true, that people are going to lose everything all the time and it's all going to go down in flames. Darla's been getting calls, which is probably why she's sick. She's getting calls from families that are frantic thinking it's going to happen tomorrow because they got this letter from the union, when in fact it probably can't even be implemented in this next budget cycle. But the Senate has already spent the money that they're saving because they're actually doing this to save money. Because they're not going to pay overtime, right? So Darla's thinking that in order to not pay overtime, maybe they would just limit the hours of a person to X number a week, and then they wouldn't. So you can work all you want, and they're off the hook, maybe off the hook for overtime, but there's all sorts of funny things around it that sound really sort of only semi-legal. And it doesn't sound necessarily like a good thing. Because there has to be a fiscal agent. That's how it's different from SSP. But I'm not quite understanding how they're going to find a free fiscal agent. Because we've looked at this all before, and fiscal agents don't write checks for free. Because banks charge for that. So I don't know. It's kind of a real mess. We'll see where it all lands. Obviously, it is not going to be implemented because they don't have the, I guess, CES told me that they do. King County is a fiscal agent. They have something like that for seniors where they're a fiscal agent, but there isn't really an entity. Right now, case managers do the same thing with authorization. So, I hadn't even thought about could this be a union issue. Well, it's a different union, you know. It's just a mess, a complete mess. The other thing that happened is the legislature wanted to put money into Yakima Valley School, and $834,000, and I think that you all, that Ronnie had some questions about that, and it looks like that all went down completely. For a while, they were going to convert it into community respite beds, and I'm not even sure that made it through because it costs money.
Yeah, I thought Darla sent an email out saying that
did it make it through Monday night?
Oh, I don't know.
See, that's the part that I'm not quite sure because I can't find it in anything that came out Monday. It just looks like it kind of went down instead of converted. We do have crisis respite in Clark County. It's very hard to find a provider for it. That's the stumbling block here. And we could probably do more if we could find providers. So, you know anybody, I guess that's a possibility. Anyway, the rest is self-explanatory. It's supposed to be a short session. But they aren't talking about adjourning, which means they're going to have to use the S word pretty soon, which is special session, which is expensive. And nobody wanted to do that on an election year. Stay tuned, because if we're talking about this next month, this will be really sad. And any questions, call me at the office after I talk to Darla again.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The comprehensive plan?
Oh.
Who's talking?
That was me. Oh, that was me again. See this guy. We have.
We can do Walt first and we get a break.
No, Walt's not here. So I guess the comprehensive, all I have to say about that is the, and this is just a heads up, you guys, because the board of, Mark Bolt wants to meet with y'all.
Great.
And the comp plan is about done. We just have to get a cover on it, a few copies, so and some signature pages. So I'm going to start the process, and what I'm going to do then is email everybody when they tell us when they want to meet with us, and whoever is available.
Why don't they come to our meeting to work?
They want you to come to their
meeting.
That was Ted that said
that. It might be easier for them.
Well, yeah, it might be. I can run that up the flagpole. No matter what I do, I have to answer 5 points, apparently, even though Mark was anxious to meet with y'all. Then we're going to have to...
You get sandwiches if they're coming.
Yeah. Well, actually, what we'll probably have to do is give everybody a speaking card. So we know what you want to cover, and I'll help you, each of you, with that, anybody that's available. And some of you have done it before. It's not that hard. I loved it when Leanne said, would you like your doctor to prescribe your job? It was perfect. So stay tuned. I will get in touch with you and people that aren't here today, and then we'll be starting on how do we talk to them. Now, we have a couple of them that don't like PowerPoint, and one of them that probably wants to see PowerPoint, and so I am not sure.
I was going to say, tap dancing might go over real
well. Well, that would be an option if any of you want to do it.
Can we have someone do mine?
We can volunteer Walt because he's not here.
There we go.
And Del and Walt are meeting with a prospective new self-advocate on Friday to because he's interested in being on the board. So I'll see you Friday night.
Yeah. Anything else? Anybody else have any items of new business? And I guess we get to adjourn.
Told you it was short.
Thank you very, very much for coming.
Yes, right.
Meeting is now adjourned.